So that's the journey of the soul that we are walking. The soul is ever present in the realm of soul, at the seat of the soul, with God. It knows the moment of now. It knows the movement of loving. But the trick is, it is also caught up, if it's not in the person of one who is meditating, it is caught up in the mind. It is distracted by the world and caught up in the element of time. And it has lost sight of the now. All we have to do is keep reminding ourselves of the now. It's right now. God's now. I'm now. Loving is now. And choose back into that. And live into that. And be that. And guess what? Something really wonderful happens when you begin to do that more and more. You stop thinking about all those problems. You stop thinking and worrying about yourself and others. And life becomes more open and joyful and grace-filled and easy and comfortable. And you like yourself and you love yourself and you like God and you love God. And this moment is the same as the next in this creation because it's all right now in God. Same moment, same moment, same moment. Doesn't change. It's ever the same because it's now. I live in the now. I love in the now. I am of the now. I am now. And now is God. What a way to live life. And you can do it while in the physical. There's a lot of places in the world where you can go and listen and say and hear how when you leave this body, then you can have it. Then you can go to heaven. Then you can be in God's presence. Then you can know God's loving. Then you can have all the wisdom of the ages. I remember sitting at a church one time hearing a minister say something like that. And I'm going, golly, this is terrible. I don't want to believe that because I knew it was different than that. I knew it as a child that it was different than that. But there was a part of what he was saying that my mind was grabbing a hold of and wanting to believe and create in my body as a way of living. And I realized then I had to really honestly, truthfully hold to what I knew to be true and not take on the beliefs of the world. Or I too could live in that same consciousness of one day in the fairyland of this creation. I will die, I will leave this body, and if all goes well and I've lived a good life, I'll enter into paradise, I'll have the loving, I'll live in God's vision. I'll have all the knowledge I've ever wanted. All the answers will be answered. And I remember sitting there going, in that moment I went, I am doing it this way. I am doing it with God. I am doing my way, not his way. And I remember the family that had brought me to church that day, as we were driving home, the father was talking about, won't that be a wonderful day when we can get all the answers to all of our questions? Won't it be a wonderful day when we really can know that God loves us and be in that loving? And I thought to myself, I wonder if my parents think this way. I never thought about it before. And I went home. And I sat down with my mother. I could talk to her more than my father about these things because he didn't want to have those weird conversations. But my mom did. And so I asked her, I said, Mom, do you know God's loving right now? Do you feel that there's a lot of things that aren't answered inside of you that you want answered, and you feel separated from God by that, not having those answers? And she said, well, yeah, I do. I do want to know God's loving. I do. I pray every day. I ask for God's loving. I ask to be in God's loving. I want God to know that I love God. But I don't know that God knows I love God. And I don't feel God's loving in my life very much. And then I realized that it's everywhere. If it's in my mom, it's got to be everywhere. I thought it was just like maybe at that church or maybe in the people that go to those churches. But nope, if it's in my mom, then it's everywhere. And it really kind of woke me up to something. Many different things, really, in that moment. Have you ever had an experience in your life where all of a sudden you realized your mom's not just your mom? Your mom's a human being, a person who had her own life before you. And she has a whole story that you've never heard. And she has a lot of different thoughts and feelings going on inside of her that you've never found out about. In that moment, I realized, oh my God, this is a soul. This is a person. This isn't just my mom. I can't even tell you what the enlightenment was for me, but it was like a big light went on and I realized, oh my goodness. And I began to have a different relationship with her after that. That was a wonderful moment in my life. And I think for her too, because then we had a lot of wonderful, deep conversations after that. So in your daily life, begin to look and see in all the people in your life, including your wife, including your husband, including your children, including your parents, and look and listen and find that soul that is there. Not the personality that you've had a relationship with and have expectations on or they have on you. Find that soul in them. Find that individual, that unique one in them, and discover their richness, discover their story, and beyond that, discover the God that dwells there. It's amazing. But you know what? I found something that you have to do first. First, you've got to find God here in order to find God there. If you don't know God here, if you don't know God's loving here, you're not going to know it in the other person. You're not going to see it, feel it, hear it, relate to it. You're just going to see the personality, the ego, because that's where you're coming from. Seek first the kingdom of heaven. Seek first God's kingdom, and all else shall be given unto you. Love your neighbor as yourself. So it's love yourself first and then love your neighbor. So all that I just said is a wonderful experience to have, but to have it, you first must go inside. You must go inside in meditation. Go inward and upward to the seat of the soul and sit there and just love the Lord and let the Lord love you until you wake up into the knowing of that. Into that moment of the now that is God, is loving. And then you can get up and with your eyes open, go out into the world and live it with the world. Live it in all that you do and begin to see it in everyone, everywhere, everything, every place. I remember going to church, going to synagogue, and having so many times people tell me, this is where God dwells. He dwells in the tabernacle where the Holy Eucharist is kept. He dwells in the tabernacle where the books are kept. He dwells in this chapel. He dwells up at the altar. And I would walk in there trying to be reverent, trying to honor God that's there. But I wouldn't find God there. But if I looked around, I could find God in my parents and my brother and people around me. I could find God inside in the loving. I could find God in the relationships of people, but I didn't find him in that little gold box up on the altar. I didn't find him up on a pedestal somewhere in the church. He wasn't there. I'd look around and no, don't see it. Where are you, Lord? But I'd look around back at the people in the pews and, oh, well, there you are. Why aren't you up there? Because God's not in a box. He's not in a piece of bread. He's not just in those things. I remember going to Israel for the first time. And we're standing at the Western Wall, where the Temple Mount, where the temple used to be. And we all were in there, men on men's side, women on women's side. And I'm standing there, and not being Jewish and not knowing the tradition and what to do, I'm just kind of looking and watching and observing a lot of people. And a lot of the people that were Jewish were praying and putting notes into the wall, asking of God things in prayer. And this Jewish man came over to me, and he said, so do you know what to do here? And I go, well, no, I don't. I'm Christian. I'm just visiting. And he says, well, I know that. You know, he knew by how I was just not doing anything, I guess. And so he said, let me explain to you some things. And so he was telling me about the prayers and how to pray and how to move and what I might want to write down on my piece of paper to put in the wall. And then he said, you do know, and he put his hand up on the wall, and he says, God dwells in this mountaintop. God dwells right here. This is where God dwells on earth. And he took my hand and he put it up there and he says, do you feel it? And for a moment, I felt it. I felt God's presence in that wall. And it kind of startled me. I went, oh my God. And he looked at me and he says, see, it's here. You felt it, didn't you? Because I looked shocked, I'm sure. And I walked away from that and I went, all right, now I'm totally confused. Why is it that I reached up and I touched that wall and I felt you, Lord, there on that wall? And God said, if enough people put their belief in something, that belief will seem real, even though it's not. That's not me. That's their belief of me. That's their want of me. That's their prayer of me. And so many people over so many generations have put me there, have expected me to be there, that their beliefs have created a thought form. And that thought form feels real to them because they don't know what is real and what is not. So for them, I dwell there because they have placed me there. They have confined me to this mountaintop. They've confined me to this small space of all of creation to be my dwelling place. And I heard then, but is it true? What do you know, Jim? And I go, that's not true. I know it's not true. I liked it. And I'd go back again and put my hand on it just to feel that. That was great. But I know that's not it. I know that's not true. And God goes, then pay attention to the rest of the trip. You're going to go to a lot of places where a lot of people think I dwell. Don't fall for any of it. Don't believe any of it. Continue living and knowing what you know and share what you know with those that ask, with those that are ready to hear. And that's the key for us. God dwells here at the seat of the soul. And that's where we are to go and know the Lord, is to go inside and sit with God here. That's what Brian and I do every day in meditation. That's what we ask all the initiates to do every day in meditation. That's what we invite everyone to do in order to begin to wake up and to know the truth of truths. is just that. And I guess that's just that. Well, do you have a mic? Somebody wants to ask a question. Or you could do like his shirt says and just let it be. I like that.
Let it be what?
So in your sharing, you talked about seeing and experiencing the God in everything. How is that different than God not dwelling in the out here but within? Does that make my question make sense?
Yeah.
Okay.
What we find first is we have to wake up to God here in order to be able to recognize and to know and experience God in all of creation. Until then, we have no reference point. We have no way of really, truly acknowledging and knowing God for God's sake. So we must wake up here. Then once we do, like I've said in the past, you'll see it in every person. You'll see it in every living organism, plant, animal, or whatever. And you'll even see it in inanimate objects. You'll see the essence of God's loving that is laying dormant, waiting to come into manifestation, waiting to come into full knowing of itself.
So it's about looking for God inside first and not out here first.
Right.
Okay.
Because if you look for God outside first, you're going to look a long time, and you may find places where people say God dwells, but when you go there, does it really help? Does it really change your life?
Okay, thank you.
Yeah.
So I'm going to say a little bit of something.
Oh, good.
I don't care what time it is. Because I'm in the now. It's always interesting. Whenever there is a sharing, a lot of what I was hearing Jim describe today is what I would call transformation. And that's really the greatest action of the spiritual pathway, is really the transformation of consciousness. That as we really spend time in meditation, we begin to wake up to the truth of who we are spiritually. And that's the transformation of consciousness, is moving from that place in the physical level that is asleep to that which is truth and spirit. And that process of awakening is what we could call the transformation, in which the consciousness begins to open to the greater fullness and truth of who we are as soul. And that's why the action of meditation is first and foremost in this process of transformation. An important thing to remember in that is that, there's many, many different spiritual teachings in this world. And often we hear all the time all these different ways and books and authors, people coming to us all the time saying, it's just like what you guys are sharing. Well, yeah, the words can often be the same. But what really is going on spiritually is where the difference is. That's why it's important to keep in mind it's about the action spiritually that creates the transformation, not just the words. The words give us direction, actions that we can take in order to transform our consciousness to wake up and know the divine. But there's a big part of this action of transformation. That's why it is beyond just the words or the teachings, but it is truly the action of grace extended by the Holy Spirit. That's why on this pathway we teach the practice of initiation, because that initiation is that action of God's loving that is the Holy Spirit, the Word, that is the sound current, that is anchored in the soul, right here into the physical consciousness and through every level of consciousness. That word that is placed in initiation is the action of transformation. That is beyond any teachings or words written in a book. That's the true living, loving presence that we should seek if we are truly after spirit. That's why we've got to look beyond the words, beyond the teachings, and go for the direct experience. Because it is only truly the spirit of loving that can transform the consciousness to wake up and see the truth within ourselves and then within all of creation. There's many out there that are awake metaphysically, and see a lot of things. And that's a partial awakening, a partial transformation. But I'm talking about the full transformation, the full awakening. And so as we go into meditation and take that word of God, those names of God that are anchored in the consciousness, and as we chant them within, it is that action of God's loving that is placed in those names that begins to transform us from the inside out. It is through that action that our thoughts and feelings and actions and reactions begin to change, begin to transform, so that we do become different, that we do begin to live more and more in the now, that we do begin to see things in new ways, that we do things differently than what maybe we've done in the past, that we actually have more happy thoughts rather than negative, the downtrodden experiences. But even in those experiences, we allow that name that does the transformation into even those things we would call negative, because it is as we allow that in there that the transformation does take place. And then what do we do as we're allowing this action of spirit to move within us? We're practicing those teachings, many of them, as well as loving, acceptance, forgiveness. With acceptance, I'm going to say, is a big key. I found the more that I can accept even the negative experiences and the bad feelings I have, that it releases the charges, the judgments, the fears around those experiences. That when I even accept and let those experiences be okay, all of a sudden now I've allowed God's living presence to come into that area. That's what we do in ourselves. That is our work to do, is to open those doors by which God's living word can come into those areas so that they can be transformed within us. And that is through acceptance. And the wonderful thing is, when we move into acceptance and open the door to allow that living presence to come into those areas that we want to avoid and not look at, well, with that loving, all of a sudden in comes the joy, the enthusiasm, the gratitude for even the negative experiences. Because every experience we have is an action of awakening, an opportunity to truly learn and grow and to know God in all of creation, in every level, in every way. That's why it's so important to bring spirit into all things. But that comes from the spirit of who we are in choosing God and loving God and then allowing the divine presence to live in us and through us in every way, in every shape, in every form. And so it is in our choices, in allowing that, in choosing that, in participating in that, do we step into the transformation. That purple light we talk about to look for in meditation is a radiant form. That purple light is the action of transformation, of transforming the consciousness, of freeing the soul of its entrapments, of its attachments. That's the light of freedom. That's why we always look for it and follow after and allow it in. Because that's how we step into the liberation and live that greater freedom. Just as Jim said earlier about the door. Well, maybe in the beginning there's a door, but as we follow that light of transformation, it transforms the door, dissolves it, so that all there is an opening. And that is true on every level. It begins here at the seat of the soul, but then in every level of consciousness beyond, it is through that action of loving and that purple light, that light of transformation, that removes the veils, that burns the holes through the veils, that opens those doors, those openings by which the soul can traverse into the greater awakening. And often, at first, the soul appears just as a flame in the darkness. But as we allow that light of loving in, that flame grows. Our light becomes greater. And in that, those veils of darkness, of unknowing, just dissolve. Burning the seeds of karma has often been called. So it is the dissolving of those veils, those karmas, as we choose more and more into that loving. And it is that living word that does that. That is God's grace that we allow within us to grow, to dissolve, so that we, the soul, truly awaken into that greater truth. Until we have awakened fully, and then it is that process now of living the loving, living the joy in every moment that you truly can live in the now because you are fully awake to the presence of the now and the I am that is in the now. And so that's my shortened version of what I was seeing. The other version, maybe we'll talk in this afternoon's class. And if you're in it, we'll look forward to seeing you at 3 o'clock to start. And until then, I'll place one seat out there. The other part that I was going to share was about listening. Listening to the sound current. Listening to that word of God. Because that sound current, that word, is what leads the soul home through all of this action of transformation. And with that, I'll say a good night, a good day, a good morning. And we'll see you later. Hey, right, how about that? Right at 12:30.